Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Hallelujah. Well, are you glad to be alive and on this side of the dirt this morning? Amen. If you want to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, for those of you who don't know, I'm not Pastor John. I'm Pastor John Light, but not really because I'm bigger, so that's not how, I don't know how that works. Anyway, my name is Stormy, and I have been given the task this morning, the assignment to preach for our Pastor Appreciation Day, and that's what today is. We are here to honor our pastors and the gift that God gave us. Can you show your appreciation just real quick to the blessing and to the angels of this house? Amen. You know, they were, as we were planning all of this, they said, you know, what would be great this morning is if we could get Pastor John's favorite preacher to preach. And I thought, wow. And they said, he can't make it. He's out of town. Can you do it? Okay, cool, whatever. So that's just a joke. They didn't tell me that. But I am in the place of where I'm having to depend on the Holy Spirit, not because it's hard to honor our pastors, but because how many of y'all remember that know that Pastor John used to be a fireman? Okay? So Pastor John, because of that, probably doesn't like smoke and doesn't like people blowing smoke, if you catch my drift, okay? And that's not what I want to do. I don't want to do that this morning. I want to try to engage the tension between honor and the honor that they deserve and the humility that they bear. And I've prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to guide me in that. And I believe he has given me a word. And I'm thankful that we have a gift to this house that is humble, that is a servant, and that deserves the honor that we're going to show forth this morning. And that Bible says, as we'll read here in a minute, that that's a good thing when you have somebody leading you that is absent of ego. We'll read, like we said, Paul describes that the true Christian life is one that is absent of ego, and that to truly walk worthy of the call that we have received, we understand that God's work will always be an attack against our ego, not to try to decimate us and not to try to obliterate or humiliate the self, but to try to bring it into relation with God and to redirect its interests. The point being is that we're blessed beyond measure this morning to serve with leaders whose life exhibits such great humility and service to those that they are called to. And so with that said, we're going to try to navigate that tension of making them feel uncomfortable and honoring them at the same time. Amen. So in Ephesians 4, I'm just going to kind of give this to you as the Holy Spirit gave to me. We're going to take a stroll through the first 16 verses of Ephesians 4. We're not in any hurry this morning, amen? Unless you're real hungry, then I'll try. Well, Ephesians 4, we find in this part of Paul's letter a true descriptive passage of what it means to be the church in action. No wondering, no wavering. If you want to see how it's done, here is what you need to look for. In Ephesians 1, he starts out saying this, he issues this spiritual and this practical imperative when he says, I beseech you, therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk. Somebody say walk. Progress, to move, to go ahead, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Okay, not a call to be a preacher or a doctor or a teacher or a farmer or whatever, but to walk worthy of the calling on our life as a disciple, as a child of God, as a member of his body, to walk worthy of that calling with which you were called. Okay, you getting a call, you better pick it up. Okay, you're not called by your mama. You're not called by your daddy, you're not called by whoever, but you have been called this morning by the Lord, amen? And Paul makes sure to tell us that that's who the calling is from in order to remind us that if we trust that God's love is so great, just like we just sang about, if his salvation is so powerful, if God has granted such reconciliation between us and him, then we as believers should live accordingly, amen? Okay, we didn't get saved to get fire insurance, to try to get out of hell free card. Okay, we were saved to be his disciples. We were saved to walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. And this is one call, not for the professional ministers, not for an elite group, but for all Christians to live in accord with what God has done. So we walk, verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Everybody loves that word. Bearing with one another in love. And in doing so, we understand verse 3 that we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in hope of your, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, or if you're from around here, y'all. Verse 7. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Somebody say gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts, say gifts again, to men. Jessica, will you get me a water? Thank you. Now, verse 9, now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 10 in the Passion Translation says that he, being Jesus, is the one who ascended into the heavens in order to begin the restoration and the fulfillment of all things. So do you see a theme running here? And if you don't, just look at the corner of the screen and kind of get an idea of what that's talking about. We cheated and we'll let you know. He's talking about a gift. Somebody say gift again. And that gift has been given by Jesus with a purpose to fulfill and restore all things. Restore them to what? To the intention and the purpose God originally had for them. So what is that gift? Verse 11 explains what these gifts are. And in most translations, while broken into six verses, verses 11 through 16 is actually one long run-on sentence, okay? And for all you who are English professors, majors, teachers, whatever, don't pay attention to that because it'll drive you nuts. But it's all one long sentence or one complete thought, okay? So verse 11 starts out like this. And he gave, somebody say gave. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Okay? Now we won't have time to go into all of those offices and all of those gifts that the Bible lays out there. But that's the gift. The reoccurring theme, the gift. Here's what the gift is. Given from Jesus as a direct result of his work on the cross in order to bring forth his plan. He gave us pastors. Okay? Sticking with me, right? This morning you're awake. We played that first song fast enough that you wouldn't have to have coffee. Are you alive this morning, okay? Verse 12. Jesus gave all those gifts, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that gift will remain highly valuable. Say that with me. Say, highly valuable. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we reach that unity, it will take you all of one millisecond to realize that we have not reached that unity yet in the church. I read the other day, worldwide there's over 30,000 registered Christian denominations. Have we reached that unity? In America alone, there's probably close to 200 to 500 different denominations. We here at the church accept all denominations, preferably 20s, 50s, and 100s. I'm sorry, I read that joke and I was researching this and I thought it was cheesy enough. I just had to write in the notes, copy and paste. So just based off this, we can see that we are still in desperate need of God's gift. Amen? They haven't gone away, just like the gifts of the Spirit. These gifts of Jesus haven't gone away. God didn't do away with these gifts. He hasn't gotten rid of apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But he deems these gifts as still necessary so that, verse 14, that we should no longer be children. Meaning that we will not remain in an unprogressive, immature state. Because to remain there entails a certain danger. And that is us being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The Passion Translation renders that verse saying that it'll help us to not be led astray by novel teachings or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. And that word deceivers in the Greek literally translates to a dice-playing gambler. What does that mean? Understand that one thing this morning that the gift of a pastor will give you is it'll equip you and it'll help free you from people who are willing to take dangerous risks with your life, but not theirs. In the age where identity theft, fraud, getting scammed, getting ripped off, people having their lives ruined on account of trusting shady people, God has given us a gift to help equip us from that danger. To equip us from having somebody gamble with our life. And that gift helps us to progress through life. That gift helps us to go on and achieve what God has for us, to walk worthy and to no longer be children. And as a result, instead, verse 15, we start speaking the truth in love so that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Jesus. Somebody say His name this morning. Jesus. He is the one. He is the source of the gift. And He is the source, verse 16, from who the whole body, say everybody, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And that's the end goal this morning, everybody. This is the place that Jesus would have us to wind up. As His body that has been formed in His image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love, is how the Passion translates. Our translation renders verse 16. There, and to get us there, we need to acknowledge that God's plan was to use these gifts. Are you with me this morning? Therefore, if we rewind and go back and understand that if we are to walk worthy of the calling, then we are to, and we are to acknowledge that us fulfilling that call, we understand that that includes us honoring the gift by which God helps us to fulfill that call in which He gave Himself. That is, listen, not to build somebody up, not to help somebody's ego, and not to glorify a man, but God's biblically appropriate view of how we should honor our pastors is this. We should honor them as a gift given directly to us from Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't get mad at me. It's what the Bible says, okay? For us to not have understanding of that means that we will not treat them appropriately. And if we don't treat them appropriately, we will not rightly steward the gift that Jesus has given to us. And if our view is different than that, then it's very clear here that our view is different than what Scripture shows us. That is our understanding. That is our view of things. And if it's different from the Bible, listen, it's wrong. Amen? Do y'all still believe B-I-B-L-E? That's the book for me? Well, here's what it says. In the book of, it says that He gives us gifts. The book of James in verse 1 and 16 makes it very clear. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift And every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Matthew 7 says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Okay? How many of you believe this morning that God is into giving good gifts? And our pastors are a gift from God. Let's settle that in our heart this morning. You can write it in your notes and in your Bible if it makes you feel better. And God gives good gifts. Our pastor is one of them. And that's similarly true for our kids' pastors, for our youth pastors, for our worship pastor. Amen? They're all our gifts, and we should treat them appropriately. This has been God's plan for a long time, as the book of Jeremiah shows us in chapter 3, verse 15. God says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Meaning that this gift that God gives you isn't just for whatever, it actually serves a purpose. That purpose, just as said in Ephesians 4, it means that they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. They are used by God to help us become the one true body of Christ. They are pivotal in training us for the work of ministry that God has set up for us since before the foundations of the earth. They are used by God to help us fulfill the potential God created within us, and they are used by God to help you have your own relationship with God, whereby you become one who is familiar with his voice. So why do I say all that? Because it's simple. We honor what we respect, and we respect what we understand. And if we don't understand the true purpose of this gift in our life, then we will disrespect it. And in turn, we will disrespect God, who is the one who gave the gift. Don't shout me down. And if we do not honor the gift in an appropriate manner, then we will not receive from it for what God wants to give us through it. You honor God and our pastors by understanding why Jesus put them in your life. I'm going to say that again. You honor God and you honor our pastors by understanding why Jesus put them in our lives. Youth, you honor God and you honor Pastor Chase and Alex by understanding why Jesus put them in your life. Kids, you honor Pastor Pat and Brenda by understanding why God put them in your life. Congregation, we honor Pastor Jessica for understanding why God put them in our lives. God put them in our lives. Okay, this thing is a big setup. God set you up, God set them up, God set us all up. It's about us being a part of his body. Jesus put them here, Jesus put you here, and he set us all up for each other and for him. Amen? That's one way we honor him. Another way that we honor them is we honor God and them by keeping the unity of the Spirit. If you should look at verse 3 one more time in Ephesians 4. Verse 3, we walk endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity spoken of here means the agreement or the unanimity with the Spirit. Okay? In conjunction, operating as one. And we also understand, as verse 11 tells us, that the reason Jesus gave us the gift of pastors is to equip us to reach the full measure of the unity in the faith. Unity comes from God. This is the only time in the whole Bible that this Greek word for unity is used, is in Ephesians 4:3 and 4:12 or 11. One of those. Anyway, in Ephesians 4, it uses it twice. It's the only time. And it's to signify and help us to understand that type of unity of the Spirit, of the faith, comes from God. Amen? And God sees fit to send us a gift to equip us to keep what the Lord has given. That gift also expands our capacity to grow in this unity, grow in our knowledge of the Son of God, and to grow in maturity. And if you understand your gift, you'll know that your pastors are helping you get better. They're helping you to grow up. They're helping you to be able to walk in what God has for you. Amen? And so in doing so, we make every effort, verse 3 says, to keep all that unity. That word in the Greek translates to be zealous and eager to keep that unity. I'm zealous, I'm eager, I'm working to keep that unity. That means that I don't go out to lunch today and have my pastors for lunch and eat them up and talk about them and talk about what I didn't like and what I didn't want to happen and run my mouth on them, because that's a sign that I didn't trust God with what he gave me. Okay, that's right. It seems if you do that, you're not very eager to keep the unity of the Spirit, and you might not really trust what God has set up for you and gave to you. There's an old quote. Some of you may have heard it from Eleanor Roosevelt. It says that great minds talk about ideas, average minds talk about events, and small minds talk about people. So listen, one of the best pieces of advice, and this will maybe the only practical part that I have today, but one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever been given was that if I have a problem, if something comes up that I don't like, then my duty is not to run and tell somebody about it or complain about it. My duty as a child of God, as a disciple, is to first take it to God. Amen? I take it to God before I go talking about a problem I have, something I don't like in the church, something that rubs me the wrong way. I take it to God first, and I see what he says about it. Let's not be so quick to show off the size of our mind to everybody because we didn't like something that happened in the church. We didn't like something the pastor said or did. Because we're now stepping out of that old mindset and into this understanding that God has given them to us as a gift, and we honor them as such. And I understand that that may be hard to hear because some of us in here have had hard dealings with pastors before or may have been hurt in church. And well, that's not why that happened. That's not today, okay? I'm not talking about your old church. I'm talking about us, amen? And one thing I do know, and if I may be so bold to speak like this, I do know that our pastors let God deal with them. And if we can trust that, we can trust God to deal with them and us and whatever we go through. So let's take it to God first. And by doing so, we keep the unity of the Spirit and we keep the unity with the Word of God. And understanding that our pastors are a gift, and we go on to do that by doing what Paul admonishes us to do in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. He says this, let the elders who rule well, and that's not a joke about your age, okay? Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Somebody say double honor. That's more than one, okay? Cheers to that. Especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Okay? So instead of talking about them, not supporting them, this, that, and the other, the word tells us that the biblical way we should approach those who labor in preaching and teaching in order to properly equip us to become who God has in mind for us to be means we are to give them double honor. Somebody say double. We should go far and above and how we far and above beyond how we respect them, how we revere them, and how we serve alongside them. Because in doing so, we honor not just the gift, but the giver of the gift. We honor God. One of the ways that we show honor to them is by giving. And in a moment, we're going to show them that we appreciate them with gifts. Tate, if you come play the guitar for me, I'm done preaching. I don't want to take long this morning, so hopefully I didn't. One of the ways we show double honor is by giving to them. I'm sure your pastors would be the first person to tell you that they need you to give them your prayers every day. Support them by praying for them, that God would speak to them, that God would help them, that God would move different roadblocks and obstructions out of their way to help them pastor us. Okay? I'm not speaking for y'all. I'm speaking for me. Sometimes I'm a sheep that has sharp teeth. I'm a sheep who's stubborn and needs the crook taken to my back of my head. And unfortunately, John has to be my pastor. He has to deal with me. And so y'all need to pray for him. I don't know about the rest of you, but we need to pray for our pastors this morning. Amen. We should give them our gratitude. Now, I know this is hard sometimes to take because we live in a day of shaming people and dogging people out and blasting people. But that's not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is honor and is gratitude. The Bible says, Jesus told a parable of a treasure hidden in a field. It said that a man found a treasure hidden in a field, and the treasure was so great that he went back and he bought the whole field. He bought up all the dirt. He bought up every part of it, all the parts that seemingly didn't have as much value as the pearl. Why? Because he understood the value of the treasure. And it's a picture of honor to us, of how we should honor our pastors, how we should honor the gift. We understand we honor them because God put a treasure inside of them. We honor the man and the woman because of what God did to them and because of what God can do in us. Because God can likewise put a treasure in us. God can likewise do a great work in us, and he uses that gift to do it. You should give them your gratitude. You should give it to them, listen, more than once a year. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just trying to help us out. Pastoring can be a very thankless job. And typically when we go into the days like this, we're quick to read the statistics of how many pastors quit every year and how many commit suicide every year and how many leave the faith every year. And I just don't want to talk about that, honestly. But I do want to understand. I don't want us to understand that sometimes it can be lonely and thankless. And we have a part in changing that. Amen? We can honor them and we can give them our gratitude. It's a hard job, but I know, and speaking for me, I've dodged many bullets and many potholes because of these people right here. One thing we should give them, another thing we should give them is our commitment to the vision that God has given them, of which we are a part of which we serve in. Because if God set all this up, he set up that vision for us to play a part in it. And we're of vital importance to it. And we have to carry out our role and our duty. And by doing so, we honor them by serving alongside of them. And what we'll be doing today is we'll be honoring them with gifts. Monetary things. Things that they like. Things that makes their life easier. Things that makes them feel special. We give them gifts. We give them money. We give them offering. Not because we're trying to impress them or trying to do anything, but we're simply honoring the gift. That verse goes on to say, don't muzzle an ox while it treads out grain. Okay? And that's not a joke about your facial hair or anything like that. But it means that we should never, ever let need be a concern for those who serve us. We should never let need hinder the call that God has called them to, or keep them from fulfilling God's purpose, of which we take part of and benefit in. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. If you'll stand to your feet, I'm going to ask all of our pastoral staff to come down here to the front.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.